This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, March 21st, 2006. Throughout the years, The Nation magazine has supported the official government fiction put out by the Warren Commission that the Kennedy assassination was the result of a lone, crazed assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. On February 20th, 2006, The Nation magazine went a step further with an article by Max Holland, a contributing editor of The Nation magazine, who also writes extensively for the Central Intelligence Agency. Max Holland's article, The JFK Lawyer's Conspiracy, ostensibly was a report of the Assassination Archives and Research Center, the AARC's, conference this past November. And in this article, Max Holland talks about the less scrupulous members of the bar, the legal profession. And among them particularly, he talks about Mark Lane, the incredible lawyer and researcher who has struggled throughout the years to bring the truth about the Kennedy assassination to the public. Holland calls Mark Lane the paterfamilias of disingenuousness, an obscure New York attorney at the time of the assassination. Lane single-handedly set the standard for dishonest criticism. But he doesn't stop there. In fact, what Holland does in the pages of The Nation and throughout the Internet is he states that both Mark Lane and others were dupes of the Soviet KGB. Today, on Taking Aim, The Nation magazine advances the CIA agenda. Ralph?
Well, Mark Lane, Maya, was not an obscure attorney at the time of the Kennedy assassination. He was, in fact, the chair of John F. Kennedy's campaign in New York, and he was a New York assemblyman of some prominence at the time. But that aside, what we're dealing with here is not only Mark Lane having been assaulted and assailed and demeaned and reinvented by Max Holland in the pages of The Nation, but what Max Holland has done is to write over a period of years in every available established medium. I mean by that the Washington Post, the Wilson Quarterly, the New Orleans Times-Picayune, the Atlantic Monthly, and notably for Studies in Intelligence of the Central Intelligence Agency, because it's important to point out that Holland is not merely being quoted by the CIA website and by its publication, but he has 14 specific articles posted on Studies in Intelligence of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he is, in fact, a CIA writer. But more than being a CIA writer, as will become clear by the responses that we have made to this assault by Max Holland in the pages of The Nation, Max Holland has an agenda through the Miller Institute and his association with Philip Zelikow at the Miller Institute, Philip Zelikow, the chair of the Official Commission on 9/11, Philip Zelikow, who is the orchestrator of the cover-up about 9/11, even as Max Holland is the CIA's orchestrator of the cover-up about the CIA role in the murder of John F. Kennedy, the treason at the top, that is the predicate for 9/11 itself. Because as we'll unfold in the course of our exposing the role of The Nation in all of this, the murderers of Kennedy at the heart of the enforcement apparatus, the security apparatus of the United States government, succeeded in their coup d'etat, and everything flows from that. The architecture of the fascist state, the series of false flag operations with impunity culminating in 9/11.
Ralph, before we go into the actual particulars of the Holland letter, and the responses, let's look a teeny bit at why it's so important that we discuss The Nation magazine. The Nation magazine has been considered for many, many years, for over 100 years, to be one of the foremost liberal magazines, a voice of the left.
Oh, I wouldn't call it the
not
left.
Not the left, but the liberal.
The progressive intelligentsia. The Nation has a reputation of being in the camp of those who challenge war, who challenge the more rapacious agenda of the right wing. It is not an anti-capitalist publication, but it is certainly part of the liberal and progressive tradition in the United States that has always abominated the notion of being a surrogate, a fink, a pimp for the Imperium, as I describe it, an instrument of disinformation of the Central Intelligence Agency.
The Nation magazine was started in 1865 by a British abolitionist named E.L. Godkin, and in the early 20th century it was owned by Oswald Garrison Villard, a descendant of the U.S. abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison. This information comes from a series of articles by Bob Feldman on alternative media censorship, and in Part 3 he discusses the Nation Institute, Radio Nation, and The Nation magazine. These articles are on the Internet. He says that subsequently The Nation was owned by a Wall Street financier, the father of a Nation writer named Bobby Tuckman, who sold it to then-Nation editor Frieda Kirschway in the 1930s for $35,000, which he had loaned to her. The Nation editor-owner, Kirschway, was a former member of the 20th Century Intercollegiate Socialist Society, the ISS, the campus group that Jack London and Upton Sinclair had headed. So that was the early days from 1865 of The Nation, and as Ralph said, it has been considered the voice of liberalism in the United States. And yet here we have today The Nation unequivocally advancing the CIA agenda. And what do we mean? Let's look at the letter that Max Holland wrote. Not the letter, the article that Max Holland, contributing editor, not just a random writer, but a contributing editor to The Nation on the February 20th, 2006 issue, specifically when he's speaking of Mark Lane. He says, Mark Lane single-handedly set the standard for dishonest criticism. In 1964, he spread innuendo about an ostensibly sinister delay in the Warren Commission's investigation as he went barnstorming around the country, giving what was then known as the speech. 2 years later, Lane published a book titled Rush to Judgment, having conveniently forgotten his earlier accusation. Carrie McWilliams, editor of The Nation during those years, steadfastly refused, to his everlasting credit, to propagate Lane's basic allegation that the government was indifferent to the truth. Little did McWilliams or anyone else know then that the KGB was finding Lane's work so useful that it was secretly underwriting his, quote, research and travel in the amount of $12,500 in 2005 dollars. And Holland goes on. The Soviet intelligence service was engaged in a scheme to implicate the CIA, the FBI, and the far right in the assassination and the subsequent murder of the accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald, but had little to show for its efforts until New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison inserted himself into the case in 1967. Owing to a clever piece of disinformation implanted in a left-wing Roman newspaper, Paese Sera, in March 1967, Garrison became consumed by the notion that Clay Shaw, a prominent businessman he had charged with participating in an alleged conspiracy that killed JFK, was actually, quote, an employee of the CIA, an agency man in Rome, trying to bring fascism back to Italy, end quote, as he put it in his 1988 memoir. Within a matter of months, Garrison has succeeded in making the KGB's wildest fantasy come true. An elected public official in America was propagating Moscow's lie. Not even Lane had dared suggest that official Washington was complicit in the assassination itself. So here we have Max Holland saying that Mark Lane's work, his important work analyzing the Warren Commission report, was it 26 volumes, Ralph?
Yes, the 26 volumes.
26 volumes of the Warren Commission report, analyzing them in Rush to Judgment, which was a bestseller, and since the established press wouldn't publish anything about it, renting an off-Broadway theater and carrying, producing night after night, important speech, packing the houses of people who were interested in learning about the questions raised by Lane about the Warren Commission, the inconsistencies in the Warren Commission report. And here we have the New Orleans district attorney who, given that Lee Harvey Oswald had been in New Orleans, who was investigating and came to the conclusion that there was a conspiracy to murder John F. Kennedy, who he had admired. He was an admirer of John F. Kennedy, and he set out to find the truth. Again, we have Holland saying that Garrison himself was a dupe of the KGB. And it goes on. In fact, what Holland and others who support him, like Paul Mitchison, have been doing is saying that whoever investigates, whoever counters the official fiction of the Warren Commission, they are KGB dupes. Ralph?
I was at the time of the Kennedy assassination working with Bertrand Russell. I was the executive director of the Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation. We were hardly admirers of John F. Kennedy. On the contrary, out of the reality that the Kennedy brothers and their Secretary of Defense, McNamara, had projected a Third World War in which the United States would emerge victorious, McNamara declared at the time of the Berlin crisis that it would take 160 million American lives and it would take 90% of Europe's population in a nuclear exchange, but the United States would emerge victorious. We were bitter opponents of the reckless imperialism of the Kennedy administration, like that of all other U.S. capitalist regimes. Notwithstanding that, in the aftermath of the execution of Kennedy, it was immediately apparent to anyone with eyes to see that the official fiction about a lone crazed assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, didn't stand up to the most elementary scrutiny of the evidence. We formed the Who Killed Kennedy Committee in early 1964. We brought Mark Lane over to London. As a matter of fact, Rush to Judgment was written in the apartment of the Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation. We worked closely together during that period. And what's interesting about this is that what the entire Holland, and let's be clear about this, Max Holland is taking his cue from Richard Helms, as will be very clear to our listeners as we relate our response in the nation's pages to the CIA disinformation of their instrument and their media asset, Max Holland. Because the basis for this was the investigative series that was undertaken by a newspaper in Italy called Paese Sera, an evening newspaper in Italy that was a daily with a circulation of several hundred thousand, I think it was a half million, and it was a prominent independent left newspaper of the day, a daily. And the investigative work that was undertaken by Paese Sera had nothing to do with the Kennedy assassination. It was the CIA plot to overthrow the Italian government in the aftermath of the plots in Greece to do the same, which actually culminated in a coup in Greece, a CIA coup. It was that investigation in Italy that unfolded the CIA proprietary companies in Italy that were working with the military and the Mussolini holdovers and the intelligence services to stage a fascist putsch in Italy. And on the board of these front companies of the CIA were Clay Shaw. I sent that information to the district attorney in New Orleans. That's the basis for this entire CIA attack, but it's not Max Holland who is the author of it. It is Richard Helms, the head of the CIA.
Ralph, the evolution of the recent discussion and the attacks by Max Holland, and it is not a coincidence that The Nation magazine is publishing this, and we're going to discuss this at length in part two of this show, The Nation magazine advances the CIA agenda. We had for the a prior WBAA fund drive, we conducted a three-hour interview with author Joan Mellon, author of A Farewell to Justice, Jim Garrison, JFK's Assassination, and The Case That Should Have Changed History, in which Joan documents the role of the CIA in the and the other intelligence operations in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And then on December 13th, we produced a Taking Aim program, The Counterattack, How the CIA Hides Its Role in the Kennedy Assassination. And these shows are on our takingaim.info website. Now, the nation was inundated with responses to Holland's JFK Lawyers Conspiracy article. And they were not going to really respond to these articles, but
they weren't going to run them.
They weren't going to run the letters. And the article by Holland, what I read, the excerpt that I read to you, is slander per se. Slander of Mark Lane.
And of Joan Mellon.
And of Joan Mellon. And Mark Lane has been known to pursue in the courts and to win many cases when it comes to slander of other people. And here the nation is faced with an issue of slander of Mark Lane himself. So let's look at some of the responses, that extensive discussion by Ralph Schoenman and Mark Lane with the editors of The Nation resulted in a much more extensive production of letters on November 22nd, 1963, You Are There. And this was the March 20th, 2006 issue. And The Nation then compounds its slander with a response by Max Holland and also another letter from which I will read excerpts, which a former TV cameraman, in which he contends that anyone who investigates the Kennedy assassination must be a crazoid.
Maya, but we're dealing here with the Central Intelligence Agency instruction manual and the directive that was prepared by Richard Helms to all media assets on how to address the critics of the Warren Report and those who are exposing the role of the agency and the intelligence services in the Kennedy murder. There were prior secret memos that are now public that we have uncovered and that are cited here with respect to Richard Helms' memorandum.
And that we discuss at length in our December 13th program.
I have to say, Maya, that this is round, 17 in the disinformation campaign of the agency against those of us who have been exposing the role of the intelligence services and the CIA in particular in official murder at home and abroad. At the time of the Kennedy execution, Malcolm X said, "The chickens have come home to roost. You can't have death squads roaming the world and think that they're going to stop at your national frontiers." And I should mention that since you mentioned Mark Lane and his willingness to fight back, he's not the only person who, of course, is subject to this sort of relentless reinvention and fabricated series of personal slanders in order. It's what they've done to Jim Garrison, and it's by way of character assassination. If you're prominent, Jim Garrison used to say in relation to his work, "You tell it all as soon as you know it. You don't hold it back. The more prominent you make the evidence, and the more attention you bring to the evidence, that's the only immunity you ever get." They couldn't knock off Mark Lane or Jim Garrison. There were efforts, but they could attempt character assassination. And I have to say that one of the elements here was a series of things which pertain to my own role in this work, a book that was published in Great Britain, which stated that I had been planted on Bertrand Russell as a mole of the Central Intelligence Agency. I sued those people, and the author of that book had to admit in Queen's Bench High Court that it was fabricated without, of course, a scintilla of evidence. It was malicious. It was damaging. It should never have been said. The judge at the Queen's Bench High Court in Great Britain ruled that all copies of that book had to be pulped. They were pulled from the libraries. They were pulled off bookshelves, and I was paid a substantial sum in damages and all legal fees, and Mark Lane represented me in the United States against Random House with the same result. Mr. Holland, Nation Magazine, listen carefully to what Mark Lane has to say about your current CIA slander.
Charlottesville, Virginia. It began with a CIA document classified top secret. In this, Mark Lane is referring to the Helms document of which Ralph spoke. How do I know that? Lane says. A decade after the assassination of President Kennedy, with the assistance of the ACLU, I won a precedent-setting lawsuit in the United States District Court in Washington, D.C., brought pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act. The court ordered the police and spy organizations to provide to me many long-suppressed documents. The CIA document stated that it was deeply troubled by my work in questioning the conclusions of the Warren Commission. The CIA had concluded that my book, Rush to Judgment, was difficult to answer. Indeed, after a careful and thorough analysis of that work by CIA experts, the CIA was unable to find in sight a single error in the book. The CIA complained that almost half of the American people agreed with me and that, quote, doubtless polls abroad would show similar or possibly more adverse results, end quote. That's a quote from the CIA document. This trend of opinion, as the CIA called it, the CIA stated, is a matter of concern to our organization. Therefore, the CIA concluded steps must be taken. Lane describes the steps. The CIA directed the methods of attacking me should be discussed with, quote, liaison and friendly elite contacts, especially politicians and editors, end quote, instructing them that, quote, further speculative discussion only plays into the hands of the opposition, end quote. The CIA stressed that their assets in the media should point out that parts of the conspiracy talk appear to be deliberately generated by communist propagandists. End quote. These are the CIA words. Further, their media contacts should, quote, use their influence to discourage what the CIA referred to as, quote, unfounded and irresponsible speculation. Rush to Judgment, then the New York Times number one best-selling book, contained no speculation. And Lane continues, the CIA, in its report, instructed book reviewers and magazines that contained feature articles how to deal with me and others who raised doubts about the validity of the Warren Report. Magazines should, the CIA stated, quote, employ propaganda assets to answer and refute the attacks of the critics, end quote, adding that, quote, feature articles are particularly appropriate for this purpose, end quote. The CIA instructed its media assets that, again quoting from the document, because of the standing of the members of the Warren Commission, efforts to impute their rectitude and wisdom tend to cast doubt on the whole leadership of American society. End quote. The CIA was referring to such distinguished gentlemen as Alan Dulles, the former director of the CIA. President Kennedy, notes Lane, had fired Dulles from that position for having lied to him about the Bay of Pigs tragedy. Dulles was then appointed by Lyndon Johnson to the Warren Commission to tell the American people the truth about the assassination. The purpose of the CIA was not in doubt. The CIA stated, quote, the aim of this dispatch is to provide material for countering and discrediting the claims of those who doubted the Warren Report. The CIA stated that, quote, background information about Lane and others is supplied in a classified section and in a number of unclassified attachments. With this background, we now turn to Max Holland's Nation article, which states that there was a JFK lawyers' conspiracy among four lawyers. These are Senator Gary Hart, Professor Robert Blakey, Jim Garrison, the former district attorney of New Orleans and later a state judge in Louisiana, and me, Mark Lane. Ralph?
Well, Mark says, before I wrote Rush to Judgment, I had never met any of the three co-conspirators, and I still have not had the pleasure of meeting Senator Hart, and I know of no work that he has ever done in this area of the Kennedy assassination. I met Blakey once, and he had been when he had been appointed chief counsel for the House Select Committee on Assassinations. It's interesting that Mark should mention Blakey, because Blakey was part of the cover-up. And Mark says, I told him I was disappointed in his approach and in his methods. Not much of a lawyer's conspiracy. Each of the other statements as to alleged fact are false and defamatory. Mr. Holland states that I am not scrupulous, that I am dishonest, that I spread innuendo about the sinister delay in the Warren Commission investigation, an assertion not made by me, but fabricated in its entirety by Mr. Holland. As a silent echo of his CIA associates, Mr. Holland does not point to one assertion as to fact of the thousands I have made about the facts concerning and surrounding the death of President Kennedy that he claims to be inaccurate. Finally, Mr. Holland strikes pay dirt. He uncovers, are you ready for this, the fact that I asserted the government is indifferent to the truth, unquote. I confess. Is that now a crime under the Patriot Act? Isn't that what the nation is supposed to be asserting and proving? Mr. Holland states that the KGB was secretly funding my work with a payment of $12,500. It was secret, all right, it never happened. Mr. Holland's statement is an outright lie. Neither the KGB, nor any person, or any organization associated with it, ever made any contribution to my work. No one ever made a sizable contribution, with the exception of Corliss Lamont, who contributed enough for me to fly one way from New York to Dallas to interview eyewitnesses. The second largest contribution was $50 given to me by Woody Allen. Have Corliss and Woody now joined Mr. Holland's fanciful conspiracy? Funds for the Citizens Committee of Inquiry were raised when I lectured each night for more than a year in a Manhattan theater. The New York Times referred to the well-attended talks as one of the longest-running performances off-Broadway. That was not a secret. I am surprised that Mr. Holland never came across that information, especially since he refers to what he calls the speech in his diatribe. Apparently, Mr. Holland did not fabricate the KGB story. His associates at the CIA did that. There is proof available for this assertion, but I have taken much space already. For that information, contact me, and Mark gives his email number. Am I being unfair when I suggest a connection between Mr. Holland and the CIA? Here is, quote, the CIA game plan, unquote. Fabricate a disinformation story, hand it to a reporter with liberal credentials, for example, a contributing editor to The Nation. If the reporter cannot find a publication, then have the CIA carry it on its own website under the byline of the reporter. Then the CIA can quote the reporter and state, according to, ... Mr. Holland writes regularly for the official CIA website. He publishes information there that has been given to him by the CIA. The CIA on its official website then states, according to Holland, unquote. If you would like to go into this matter of disinformation laundering, enter into your computer CIA.gov plus Max Holland. You will find on the first page alone numerous articles by Mr. Holland supporting and defending the CIA on its website and attacking those who dare to disagree, as well as CIA statements attributing the same CIA information to Max Holland. A question for The Nation magazine. When Mr. Holland writes an article for you defending the Central Intelligence Agency and attacking and defaming its critics, why do you describe him only as a Nation contributing editor and author? Is it not relevant to inform Nation readers that Max Holland is a contributor to the official CIA website and then is quoted by the CIA regarding information that the agency itself gave to him? An old associate of mine, Adlai Stevenson, once stated to his political opponent, a man known as a stranger to the truth, if you stop telling lies about me, I'll stop telling the truth about you. I was prepared to adopt that attitude here, but I cannot. Your publication has defamed a good friend, Jim Garrison, after he has died, and cannot defend himself against demonstrably false charges. You have not served your readers by refusing to disclose Mr. Holland's CIA associations. The nation and Mr. Holland have engaged in precisely the kind of attack journalism that recalls the bad old days. If I fought McCarthyism in the 1950s as a young lawyer, how can I avoid it now when it appears in a magazine that has sullied its own history? Maya?
Ralph, it's time for a station break, and then we'll return with more on this issue.
Hello, we are Kinky. You're listening to WBAI. Estás escuchando WBAI. Y quédate con nosotros. Keep with us.
New York City.
Hola, nosotros somos Kinky de México. You're listening to WBAI. Keep with us.
Taking aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Nation magazine, advances the CIA agenda. We have been reading from Mark Lane's response to
Max Holland's
article in The Nation.
And to The Nation magazine itself, as we will amplify here, because Holland is but an instrument. He's a CIA instrument, but he's the nation's instrument as well, and that is an important story as well.
That's right, Ralph. The Nation reviews articles before they are published. There are editors. It's not that Max Holland sends in an article and people say, oh, yeah, here comes an article, and blindly put it in the magazine. Articles that appear in The Nation are reviewed by the editors. And if they appear in The Nation, particularly by a contributing editor of The Nation, they reflect the policies of The Nation magazine.
Let's be clear about this. Max Holland's attack on Mark Lane and Joan and Jim Garrison and myself is not the first. This has been going on over a series of years, and as I mentioned, in every available vehicle to him, not merely The Nation, but The Nation in particular has now been orchestrating this. It's been orchestrating attacks on critics of the Warren Commission. It's been orchestrating attacks on critics of the 9/11 cover-up and the role of the U.S. in relation to 9/11, it's been doing a particular job of work that is the mandate of the Central Intelligence Agency, as Richard Helms' now declassified instruction to media assets makes abundantly clear. And ironically,
that's right, Ralph. It's been doing it over the years. But let's go back to the specifics of what is occurring now in 2006. As Lane says, the article by Max Holland is filled with ad hominem attacks, name-calling, and fabrications, and it has done much mischief. That's to put it mildly, I'll add. I will hold you and Holland accountable for your misconduct. I can honorably adopt no other course. To mitigate damages, I require that you repudiate the article and apologize for publishing it, that you publish this letter as an unedited article in your next issue, that you do not publish a reply by Holland in which he adds to the defamation and the damage he has done, a method you have employed in the past, that you provide to me the mailing addresses of your contributing editors and members of your editorial board so they may send them this letter to them. I am confident that Gore Vidal and Bob Borisage, Tom Hayden and Marcus Raskin, all of whom I know, and many others such as Molly Ivins, John Leonard, and Lainey Guinier, who I do not know but who I respect and admire, would be interested in the practices of The Nation. In addition, I suggest that ethical journalism requires that in the future you fully identify your writers so that your readers may make an informed judgment about their potential bias. Now, I'd like to add here that while The Nation did publish his letter unedited, it did publish a further defamation by Max Holland. It compounded the crime.
And we will go into that as well, Maya. He ups the ante, and he does it in a very particular manner by invoking the disinformation of Christopher Andrew and Vasily Mitrokhin, and that is a story in and of itself, which we will address shortly. But please go on, Maya.
Lane ends his letter. If you have a genuine interest in the facts regarding the assassination, you should know that the House Select Committee on Assassinations, the United States Congress, concluded that probably a conspiracy was responsible for the murder, and that therefore the Warren report that Holland defends so aggressively is probably wrong. Well, it's not just Holland defending it. It's the Nation magazine that has defended throughout the years the Warren Commission report and has done so aggressively. In addition, the only jury to consider this question decided in a trial held in the U.S. District Court in a defamation case that the newspaper did not defame E. Howard Hunt when it suggested that Hunt and the CIA had killed the president. This, by the way, is a case that Mark Lane handled on appeal and won. The forewoman of the jury stated that the evidence proved that the CIA had been responsible for the assassination. I have earned many friends in this long effort. Those who have supported my work include Lord Bertrand Russell, Arnold Toynbee, Professor Hugh Trevor Roper, Dr. Linus Pauling, Senator Richard Schweika, Paul McCartney, Norman Mailer, Richard Sprague, Robert Tannenbaum, and also members of the House of Representatives, including Don Edwards, Henry Gonzalez, Andrew Young, Bella Abzug, Richard Pryor, Christopher Dodd, Herman Badillo, Mervyn Dimely, Mario Biaggi, and above all, according to every national poll, the overwhelming majority of the American people. I have apparently earned a few adversaries along the way. Too bad that they operate from the shadows. That tends to remove the possibility of an open debate. Mark Lane.
Mark is going to file a lawsuit against both Max Holland and The Nation magazine, and Joan Mellon and I will be collaborating in that lawsuit with Mark Lane, but more of that shortly.
Ralph, I think we should go to the letter that you sent to The Nation magazine, because that in that letter you deal with much of the information, and it's very interesting. We assume The Nation magazine showed Max Holland the full letter sent by Ralph, but the letter was only published in an edited form. Holland then responded to parts of Ralph's letter that had been excised from the publication, and The Nation magazine has refused to publish Ralph's response to Holland. But we, on Taking Aim in our Part 2, are going to deal with that extensively. Let's go to your letter.
Before I do that, it's an interesting method. In 1962, I'm just going to take a brief moment to elucidate this. In 1962, when we were documenting in the Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation war crimes in Vietnam, Bertrand Russell and I wrote an extended letter to the New York Times citing the biological agents and chemicals that were used in the saturation bombing of Vietnam. And in particular, we gave the places, the villages, the dates, the specific properties of the chemical and biological agents involved, gases that exploded the pupil of the eye and so on. The New York Times published that letter and removed all the paragraphs that contained the evidence and then attacked us editorially for lacking it and went on to say that Bertrand Russell was spreading communist propaganda, as he in his heart must know. It's the same method that Holland and The Nation are now using. We wrote back and said we had never had that experience where they published something and removed the evidence and then attack us for lacking it. The editorial director of the New York Times at that time, John B. Oakes, wrote back and said, "You mean to say that if you attack the Soviet Union as viciously as you do the United States, that either Pravda or Izvestia would publish what you write?" And Russell responded as follows, "Undoubtedly not. But neither Pravda nor Izvestia have ever purported to publish a letter of mine or an article while excising the evidence and then attacking me for the lack of it. If the former would be suppression, the latter is conscious fraud." Mr. Holland and The Nation, take note. I wrote the following on February 7th. "Max Holland has engaged for years in propagating calculated disinformation on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency concerning the investigation of its role in the official execution of John F. Kennedy. His writing and byline on the subject appear on the CIA's official website. In The Nation on February 20th, Mr. Holland expatiates upon his expanded,
Ralph, would you like me to continue?
No, it's all right, Maya. I've lost my... I mustn't do that. Max Holland, I'm sorry. Yes, in The Nation on February 20th, Mr. Holland expatiates upon his fabricated thesis that Jim Garrison's evidence concerning the CIA's role in the Kennedy murder derived from a series of articles in Baizi Sarah in 1967. I sent those articles to Jim Garrison in my capacity as director of the Who Killed Kennedy Committee in London, whose members and supporters included Bertrand Russell, Professor Hugh Trevor Roper, Arnold Toynbee, Field Marshal Sir Claude Auchinleck, Lord Boyd Orr, among prominent others. The Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation, of which I was then executive director, had conducted an extended investigation and political campaign regarding the role of the CIA in brutal repression, political imprisonment, and attacks on dissidents and worker leaders in Greece. Our Save Now, Greece Now committee unearthed concrete data regarding the role of the CIA that helped mobilize the movement for which Deputy Grigoris Lambrakis paid with his life. In the aftermath, our committee and its Greek leader, Michael Peristyrakis, led a demonstration of over 1 million that brought down the repressive regime. It was these issues and concerns that prompted Baizi Sera, a newspaper of the independent left, to undertake a six-month investigation into the role of the CIA in Italy, its ties to the Mussolini holdovers and Italian military intelligence, and their preparations for a military coup. The incubating CIA colonel's coup in Greece would unfold shortly after the prescient Baizi Sera series was printed, with ominous implications for all of Europe. The London and Paris correspondent of Baizi Sera was in contact with us with regard to this inquiry, and prominent writers and intellectuals of the Italian and European left shared these concerns, even as they supported Baizi Sera, including Rosanna Rosanda, K.S. Carroll, Lelio Basso, Bertrand Russell, Jean-Paul Sartre, and Simone de Beauvoir. The focus of this investigation was entirely unrelated to events in the United States or the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was fortuitous, if of great moment, that the CIA proprietary front organizations in Italy that emerged in relation to CIA plans to overthrow the Italian government included Centro Mondiale Commerciale and Permanent Industrial Expositions, Permindex, of which Clay Shaw was a director in New Orleans. Jim Garrison was well on the trail of Clay Shaw and his role as a CIA handler of Lee Harvey Oswald before the investigative series in Baizi Sera. When I sent the series of articles to Jim Garrison, he had already charged Clay Shaw in relation to the murder of Kennedy. Jim found the Baizi Sera series confirmatory and important, but the articles were not admissible as evidence in court, however significant their import. Mr. Holland has written repeatedly that Baizi Sera was, quote, a communist paper and a conduit for KGB disinformation. In fact, Baizi Sera was not the newspaper of the Italian Communist Party, that was Unita. Baizi Sera was a newspaper not unlike The Nation before Mr. Holland's infiltration of the latter as a contributing editor, with the exception that Baizi Sera was less inclined to defend the leaders of the Soviet Union than was The Nation during the decades since the 1930s. The KGB fiction with regard to Baizi Sera, and notably with respect to Jim Garrison's investigation, is real intelligence disinformation arising not from the KGB, but from a directive of Richard Helms to CIA media assets, quote, how to respond to critics of the Warren Report, April 7th, 1967, unquote. It should be noted that what emerged from the important investigative work on which the Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation and Paisy Serra collaborated at the time was the full evidence of the 40-year campaign of the CIA in Italy, now known as Operation Gladio. Operation Gladio entailed the carrying out of a campaign of terror that included the kidnapping and murder of Prime Minister Aldo Moro and the bombing of the Bologna railway station in 1984, events carried out by P2 of Italian intelligence under the direction of the CIA and imputed to the Red Brigades, the Communist Party, and the student left. Note, the puppet masters, the political use of terrorism in Italy by Philip Willan, and NATO's secret armies, Operation Gladio and Terrorism in Western Europe by Daniel Ganzer, as well as the series of broadcasts on Taking Aim on WBAI, of which Maya Schoen and I are co-producers. I worked with Jim Garrison for 20 years and sent him many documents, including Secret Service Report 767, that cites Alan Sweat, chief of the criminal division of the Dallas Sheriff's Office, disclosure of Lee Harvey Oswald's FBI informant number S172, and Dallas District Attorney Henry Wade's citation of Oswald's CIA number 110669. Mr. Holland asserts that Mark Lane's Rush to Judgment was funded by the KGB. That book was written in my flat in London. The Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation brought Mark Lane to London and supported his work. The largest contribution that Mark Lane or the foundation received for these efforts was $42 from Woody Allen. The source of this disinformation, promoted by Mr. Holland, is The Sword and the Shield, The Matrokhin Archive and the Secret History of the KGB, by Christopher Andrew and Vasily Matrokhin. And, brothers and sisters, in part two and in subsequent broadcasts, we're going to detail what exactly the Andrew Matrokhin disinformation MI6 CIA operation is about. And that is abundantly documented. It's been litigated. The British Parliament and prominent British labor leaders have already in the British press totally exposed this CIA MI6 disinformation. But the letter continues.
We should note that you're reading from the original letter, and what was excised is the fact that the Rush to Judgment was written in your flat, how the Bertrand Russell Foundation had supported Mark Lane's work, and also the source of the original disinformation, which is the Matrokhin Archive.
Yes, it's important that you point that out, Maya, because this paragraph that I'm reading now, brothers and sisters, like the one preceding it, was removed from my letter when they published it. And this paragraph continues with reference to the source of the disinformation that is promoted by Holland, namely the Matrokhin Archive, the Secret History of the KGB. I write, "The book is a farrago of disinformation, without a scintilla of factual or documentary basis, and promotes the actionable slander orchestrated by Mr. Holland now in the nation that Mark Lane and his book were funded by the KGB. Mr. Andrew is a lecturer for the CIA, and Mr. Matrokhin defected from the KGB at the instigation of that organization." Those paragraphs were removed. The letter continues, and it was published with the following. Quote, continuing this letter, "Finally, Philip Zelikow, National Security Advisor to both Bush administrations, a member of President Bush's transition team for the National Security Council, and appointed by George W. Bush to his Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board immediately after the September 11, 2001 attacks, has endorsed Mr. Holland's specious charges in Foreign Affairs," which is the publication, by the way, of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is going to become important as we expose who's on that board, the Council on Foreign Relations, but to continue with the letter. "Even as he and Mr. Holland," that is Zelikow and Mr. Holland, "were working colleagues in the Miller Institute. Mr. Zelikow, as head of the 9/11 Commission, has been a point man in covering up the role of U.S. intelligence in the planning and implementation of the events of September 11th. It is fitting that the very individuals who protect the treason at the top that defines the official assassination of President Kennedy are performing that role in a relation to events of 9/11, a precise correlative to Operation Gladio, whose elements were first exposed by the investigative work of Paesi Serra that provided the link of the CIA murder apparatus in Italy to that which murdered the head of state in America. Mr. Holland seeks to present the investigators into official murder in America not as people of principle and daring, but as disinformation tools of an intelligence service. When it comes to being a pimp for the Imperium, Mr. Holland, physician, heal thyself. You give hypocrisy a bad name, and you soil the nation in the process. The letter was published. The paragraphs about Matrokin omitted. Maya, please.
Ralph, one of, as I said, I think the new influx of attacks was precipitated by the publication of Joan Millen's significant and historic work, which chapter and verse details the role of the intelligence agencies in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and particularly the intelligence connections, the further extensive intelligence connections of Lee Harvey Oswald, because you, for instance, and other people who've investigated the assassination of John F. Kennedy had exposed many of Lee Harvey Oswald's connections. But she really tracked the mechanics of the assassination plans in Louisiana.
She breaks the case. Let's be clear about it. A Farewell to Justice by Joan Millen breaks the case. Joan has 8 years investigative work, thousands of interviews and documents. She breaks the case. She establishes, without any question, the documents and the witnesses involved in the murder. She assembles through witness testimony the actual apparatus of the execution, and she has the testimony of the man assigned to the CIA conspiracy and who had been prepared as the alternative patsy to Lee Harvey Oswald. That's the reason for the current hysteria and frenzy of Max Holland and those who protect him in the nation.
And the published book, which is very fact-intensive, is in fact the tip of the iceberg of the research that she conducted, which would have been a 1,500-page text. Now, in responding to Max Holland, it's important to look at one of the paragraphs from Joan Mellon's letter that was published in The Nation. She writes, "The 1992 Assassination Records and Review Act has disgorged dozens of documents showing that Clay Shaw was a CIA operative. This is directly contrary to what Holland suggests, that Garrison was a willing victim of the KGB's wildest fantasy. To cite one example, Shaw was cleared for a project dubbed Q and K Chant. Which permitted him to recruit outsiders for CIA projects. Shaw was no mere businessman debriefed by the CIA. One document reveals that among those Shaw recruited in New Orleans was Guy Bannister, former FBI Chicago agent in charge running an ersatz New Orleans detective agency whose side door address, 544 Camp Street, Oswald used on a set of his pro-Castro leaflets until Bannister stopped him." Now, that's very important because here we have Joan Millen revealing the facts that are accessible to anyone who goes into the assassination records archive, and Holland has no facts. He can only defame, slander, and promote innuendo, and these are the pages. And The Nation not only lends itself, it is promoting it. Because what The Nation magazine is doing is advancing the CIA agenda. It is not advancing the struggle and the search for truth. Ralph, we must conclude part one, and we will continue with this, particularly looking at the background of the Nation magazine and the role of the Matrokin archive and how the CIA assets such as Max Holland are using it. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, The Nation Magazine Advances the CIA Agenda, will be on the WBAI archive, www.wbai.org, and on the Taking Aim archive, www.takingaim.info. We would like to hear from you. You can contact us at Taking Aim, that's TakingAim at PacBell.net. We'll be with you next week.